Welcome into the Box Score. District tournament play is over. Region tournament play this week, Murphy. An exciting time of year.
And you wouldn't know any different because we're still having to make that trip to Monterey every night, just about, aren't we?
Well, the region quarterfinals will be good. I know you're going to have to go on the road with the girls to Dunlap to play Sequatchie for Cannon, and then Cannon boys get to play at home. And those home region quarterfinal games, they make things a lot easier.
I'm excited about that. We won both boys and girls games at their place and our place both, so keeping my fingers crossed, we should be able to get past the first round there in those games. It's interesting that we're playing Sequatchie in both the boys and the girls.
Let's go ahead and look at the District 8A girls bracket. Of course, Gordonville boys and girls win the district tournament championship.
Go Tigers.
In the same year for the first time since 1998.
Well, you did some research, didn't you?
A while.
Yeah, way to go.
And when you look at the bracket, Gordonville win over Trousdale, who upset Merrill Hyde in the semis, you know, that was a great close game. Great atmosphere over at Gordonville. We will show you in just a little bit when those games are going to be on that we did for DTC, Randy Jennings and myself. And in the consolation game, you had Merrill Hyde that got the big win over Joe Burns, 47-32. So Gordonville and Trousdale now, Murph, get to play at home on Friday night.
Terry, what do you attribute the Trousdale County upset over Merrill Hyde? That's a big difference based on what they did during the regular season.
I agree.
With each other.
Watton at the game, Murphy, but they said Trousdale shot the ball extremely well. And, you know, in basketball, regardless of the X's and O's, Murphy, if you shoot the ball well, it can make you look great. And if you shoot the ball poorly, you look awful.
You look terrible. That's right. That's right. Somebody just got hot, didn't
they? They got hot. And Merrill Hyde, a team that had some decent size, but Trousdale forced them into turnovers and got the W. Let's go ahead and look at the boys' tournament. Gordonville boys get the upset, 46-42 over very talented, athletic Joe Burns team in the championship game. Joe Burns pulled out a knee knocker in the semifinals over Trousdale, 77-76 in overtime.
Wow.
And to get to the championship game, Gordonville beat Merrill Hyde by 13. Then Merrill Hyde beats Trousdale County to get third place honors. But still, back to that championship game, Murphy, Gordonville's down 4 heading to the last quarter, and they outscore them by 8.
Wow.
Huge steal by Gordonville there from the Stafford kid. They were up 2, and Joe Burns has got the ball, and they're trying to work it inside, get it inside, and he anticipates it, picks it, goes all the way the other way, and lays it up to give Gordonville, you know, to secure the victory. But Gordonville just battled all night long to get that 4-point win. They had lost to them twice during the regular season by 17 and by 7, but they get the When It Counts Award. They got the trophy.
That's why tournament time is so special.
It
you
is,
never know what's going to happen.
100%. Now let's go ahead and look at when the replays of the girls and boys.
I was just going to ask about that.
Of course, they'll feature both Gordonville teams. That's Thursday, February the 26th, and Saturday, February the 28th at 7. And then Friday, February the 27th, and Monday, March the 2nd at 1 p.m., and that's on DTC3. Now let's go ahead and look at what's ahead for the region. Jackson County will host Joe Burns. Trousdale County plays at home against Clay County. Gordonville plays at home against Clark Range. Clark Range, a team's really struggling this year. And then Pickett County plays against Merrill Hyde. That's only a three-hour trip from Hendersonville up to Byrdstown, Murph.
Terry, are we looking at a Gordonsville-Jackson County finals in that girls' tournament, you think?
I don't know. Gordonsville and Pickett, I think, will win that first game. But Gordonsville playing at home could make a difference. And, of course, they've got an outstanding player to Pickett County. She signed with Tennessee Tech. A very talented player. Gordonsville will have to hold her in check. But, you know, Clay County has played Jackson County extremely close. I think Clay goes to Trouser and wins. But that Clay Jackson game and that Gordonsville and Pickett game, I don't know that there is going to be a substantial favorite.
Still some great, great 1A basketball in the Upper Cumberland, right?
Yep, that's for sure. Let's go ahead and look at the boys bracket. Jackson County hosts Trouser County. Joe Burns will host Clark Range. Gordons will host Clay County. And Pickett County will host Beryl Hyde. That Gordonsville Clay County Tigers better be down off their cloud from winning because Clay County, they've got an Adams kid that's quarterback on their football team. He's extremely talented. And if I'm not mistaken, Clay County, I think, beat Gordonsville at Salina when they played in the regular season. I really think Pickett beats Merrill Hyde by a lot. Joe Burns and Clark Range, I believe that'll be a close game in Cedar Hill. Clark Range getting to make the 2.5-hour trip or whatever it is from Clark Range to Cedar Hill. Jackson Trials, though, I really think Jackson at home after that big win over Pickett in the in overtime in the District 7A championship. I think Jackson rides that wave of momentum into Gordonsville, into the semifinals.
So you're saying, despite the fact that they're a number four seed, Clay County may be the best four seed 1A team around.
Well, right? They're talented, and you know, and Murphy, you know, like I do, basketball in the Upper Cumberland, it's king queen.
Yes.
And you know, not that Gordonsville's bad; they're not. They're playing well, and Coach Bibb's doing a good job with them. But there's no cupcakes when you get to the region tournament.
No, that's true. I could play really, really well and still get beat by another really, really well team too.
That's true. And Gordonsville playing at home is a big advantage.
Oh,
and,
no doubt.
You know, they get to play at home, not only in the quarterfinals where they were the higher seed, but then in the semifinals and then possibly the finals. And if you win the finals, Murphy, you get to host a sub-state like Gordonsville did a few years ago when they went all the way to the state semifinals under Greg Bibb. Let's go ahead and look at the District 6AA tournament. Of course, it was held at Monterey. York beat Monterey by 50, and then Smith County beat Cannon by 14. And then York wins for the 18th or 19th straight time over Smith County, dating back to 2017, 44-40 in the championship game in Cannon. Beats Monterey in a game that a lot closer than most people thought, Murphy, 54-46.
Absolutely. I can't help but wonder what's going on in Jamestown, Tennessee, that their girls are such great basketball players.
That's what they do, and they're good at it. Let's go ahead and look at the boys bracket. Cannon County gets the victory over Monterey, 79-40. Smith over York, 76-28, and then we'll talk with head coach Lane Bissell from Smith County a little bit later. Murph, you and I had the call on that for radio for Cannon and Smith, and it was just a great atmosphere and fun to be a part of, win or lose.
That's right.
It was just, you know, that's the type of game as an announcer you love to be in.
Oh, without a doubt. And the way that those two head coaches, Coach Bissell and Coach Knave, love each other.
Right.
I mean, he has all but said that when we've had other interviews.
Right.
And that's the way the game's supposed to be.
Right.
You know, be a sport about it. But certainly, we got out-coached and we got outplayed in that game.
Smith County gets its first district championship on boys' side since 1990.
That really surprised me. I didn't know it had been 36 years. Golly.
And York beats Monterey 66-50 in that consolation game. Let's go ahead and look at the girls' tournament. Of course, some of those games are going to be moved or have been moved. And as I flip through my paperwork, the Grundy County at Monterey game. Grundy.
Monterey at Grundy.
Monterey is at Grundy 1. That game is still at 7. The Smith County and Bledsoe County game, next line down, it'll be at 6. And then on the other side of the bracket, you got York and Marion girls in Jamestown. That game's at 6. And right now, the Sequatchie and Cannon County game maybe move to a six. They're not for sure, but right now it was at seven, but they're going to move that in all likelihood.
I got word from six. Coach Patrick that's going to be a
okay,
6 o'clock
game. Okay, 6 o'clock
game.
Yep. So actually three of the four quarterfinal games. Murphy, I don't know that any of those games will be close, and I don't mean that ugly. I really think they'll be one-sided affairs.
I think so, too. Cannon County's girls had an easy time with Sequatchie's girls, even though we're going up against a number two seed from that District 5. I think Cannon County's girls have a great chance to win that one, and certainly Smith County over Bledsoe, I think, will be no reason to think that Monterey can beat Grundy, and you don't ever go against York, do you?
That's true, especially playing on the mountain in Jamestown.
That's right.
All right, let's go ahead and flip it to the boys. Bledsoe County will host Monterey. That's going to be at 6 o'clock, according to Mr. Novak, the tournament director. Cannon County and Sequatchie County, it's at 7 in Woodbury. Then you drop down, Smith County and Marion County will be at 6. And then the Grundy County at York, right now it's still at 7. But Coach Powell at York is trying to get that game moved to 6 o'clock in Colmont in that region, quarterfinal games. Of course, the winners will advance to semifinal play. For the girls, it'll be at 6 and 7:30 on Monday. And then the championship Wednesday at 7. Of course, you've got to get to the championship, Murph, to get to sub-state play.
Right. And our boys and girls have both been there in the last couple of years, so hopefully they know what that's all about. And we'll have some pretty good basketball to report on next week.
Of course, the boys semifinals at 6 and 7:30 on Tuesday night for Monterey, and then the championship is Thursday night at 7. Then in just a week, on Saturday night, would be the girls sub-state, Murph. A lot of anticipation, I guess you'd say, for that on March the 7th. And then on March the 9th, would be the boys sub-state. You got to win the sub-state in order to get to Murfreesboro in the state tournament.
I need one more report. You and I have been doing this a long time, and we've done it a lot in Murphy Center, too. Right. Is it going to snow during the state tournament this year?
It does every year. That is for sure. Well, we'll wrap this section up, and we'll have an interview with Lane Bissell of Smith County. When we return, the Smith County boys coach, as we remind you, you're watching the Box Score, brought to you by Wellworth Bank.
At Wellworth Bank, we believe care makes for better banking. It's what turns transactions into trust and customers into neighbors. To us, people are more than numbers. They're families building futures, dreamers starting new journeys. We believe care should come standard because you're worth it. You always have been. Wellworth Bank, care in common. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Friendly, traditional banking at its best. It's what our customers have learned to expect at Citizens Bank, and we're always happy to deliver, with plenty of options for personal and commercial checking accounts, as well as a variety of loan types. We can help you achieve your financial goals, all with a friendly hometown smile. Citizens Bank, at 407 Main Street and 61 Dixon Springs Highway in Carthage, 70 Cookeville Highway in South Carthage, and 530 Gordonsville Highway in Gordonsville. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
At Huff and Puff Trucking, it's more than a job. It's the people beside you. People who go the extra mile. Together. Hard work. Real pride. Good people. That's who we are. Huff and Puff Trucking. Driven by purpose. Powered by people. Ready to join us? Visit huffpufftrucking.com to learn more.
Why do our customers choose Homeland Community Bank? Because we're committed to providing top-quality financial services while focusing on those personal banking relationships that treat you like the friends and neighbors that you are. From checking and savings to loans of all types, including those focused on business, Homeland Community Bank is truly ready to meet your needs. Contact us today to make the switch to better banking. Homeland Community Bank. Banking by the people, for the people. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
And welcome back into the Box Score. We've been joined by a smiling Lane Bissell. First time since 1990 that the Owls have won the district championship.
Really?
I know that six times since 1990, the Owls have had an opportunity to win a district championship game, but didn't. And I know that your team's got to be pretty tickled.
Oh, you know, it's a big moment for our program. You know, I was telling the boys before we started playing last night that a moment like this can be a huge shift in the culture here at Smith County. And get younger generations excited about basketball and wanting to play. I'm just really proud of the guys, and it was a lot of fun. I have a feeling we might see Coach Nave in Cannon County again.
Coach, that wouldn't surprise me a bit, but I did want to compliment you and also the Smith County fans. I'm telling you what, they were vocal last night. Maybe it's because we were right on top of them where we were broadcasting from. But I'm telling you what, those fans played a big role, I think, last night in your win.
Absolutely. It was nice to see the Owl Nation out there in full force. You know, it was really loud, and we had prepared before the game knowing that. And we strictly communicated on hand signals last night because I know there was no way we were hearing each other in that environment.
I'm sure.
Coach, you'd played Cannon County twice. You'd won at Carthage 59-54 back on January 23rd. You went to Woodbury, had a 10-point lead in the third quarter. They came back, got a 59-53 win in Woodbury, and that was right the last game of the regular season on February the 12th. So going in, Coach Nave likes to scout as much as Lane Bissell does. Mm-hmm. So you'd probably seen them numerous times on film and numerous times live, just like they have. So there wasn't much hiding, I guess you could say, what the other team was going to do.
Yeah, if you go back and watch the game again, you know, when Coach Nave calls a play, our whole bench is yelling out what the play is and vice versa. We both know each other very well. Mm-hmm. Listen, I love Coach Nave and his coaching staff. They're so great to work with. It's hard beating a guy that you really like. I mean, I enjoy it and everything, but you know, Coach Nave walked through the handshake line and said, "Hey, man, I love you, buddy. Congratulations." And it's just cool to have that kind of camaraderie with a coach with a big rivalry like that.
Coach, I can't begin to tell you how much that warms my heart because all too often on TV we see coaches just almost like they're afraid they're going to get a disease if they shake the hand of the opposing coach. And we need to remember that, yeah, it's a basketball game and it's a district championships. But it's still a game, and we need more of that, I think. And I'm glad to see what I saw last night by the kids and by the coaches and by the fans alike. I thought it was the way it's supposed to be.
No, I agree. It was a great moment, you know, to do something we haven't been able to do since 1990 here in year two. It's kind of ahead of progress. You know, we weren't expecting to be that. But back to what you said about the coaching part, and I say this all the time, and this is going to sound bad. I don't mean it that way. You know, coaches, we have enough people who think they can do our job in the stands better than us. And so when I walk through that line with the other coaches, I want them to know I got their back and I'm here for them. If I can help them anyway, I want to do it. I just think it needs to be more of a brotherhood than it sometimes is. Hopefully we can change that, share the games, share ideas, and be better basketball coaches instead of being enemies.
Well said, Coach.
All right, Coach, let's talk about the game a minute. You get down 8 early, 14-6. You're down 20-15 after the first quarter, but then you had a big second quarter. You lead 30-29. It's 40-40 after three, and in the fourth, Tyler Jones hit two big buckets to give the Owls the lead, which was for good. But, of course, they got it down to one at 59-58 with 15 seconds left. And then after Cooper Williams, who was outstanding with 30 points, 18 of 18 from the foul line.
Right.
Cooper makes a couple free throws, puts you up three, and then Miles Alexander has got a three to tie it, excuse me, on the left wing with about 4 seconds left. Fortunately for the Owl fans, it was off. You grab the board, secures the win.
Yeah, it was just an up and down battle all night, back and forth. Each team's throwing punches and everybody's responding. You know, Cannon County came out hot. Miles was hitting shots. You know, Anderson Lotta hitting shots. Lucas Phillips hitting shots. I was proud that we went, you know, blow to blow with them because, I mean, they could have just ended it right there. But, you know, scoring 20 in a quarter is not what we want to do defensively. Much better defensively in the second quarter, obviously. We held them to 9 points, take the lead going into half. And, you know, they hit a three at the end of the quarter there to get it to that. So third quarter, pretty much a stalemate. And then the fourth quarter was just, Anderson made, he did make a big three. Lucas made some big plays. Miles made some big plays. And I was just proud of us for making the right decisions, making the right plays. You know, they were running and jumping, trying to trap Cooper and Tyler. And we were patient, got fouled, made layups when they gave them to us, and just made the right decisions. And all the tough games that we had earlier in the year where maybe we didn't close out a game, it prepared us for last night. And, you know, we talked about that in the locker room. Like, all the situations we put ourselves in by playing tough schedule and practicing that way has made us ready for this district tournament.
Coach, I kept thinking that Cooper Williams was going to miss a free throw at some point in time, but 18 out of 18 is just incredible. Is that a major point with you at practice? Do you have all your guys shooting a lot of free throws, or is that just what Cooper Williams is all about?
Well, Cooper is great at that, but, you know, he was on an interview last night and he said, Coach makes us make 20 free throws before practice is over every single day.
So, wow.
We shoot 20 free throws. You have to make 20 before you leave, or we move on to the next drill. It's like a water break for us. We say, hey, our water break is shooting free throws. So when it's time for us to get drink water, we shoot free throws. We get tired as we can. We go really hard. Then we shoot free throws. So it's more game on.
Wow. Coach, it's not like he was shooting a terrible percentage coming in, 78%, which I'm sure you would take from any of your players. But to do 18 of 18, especially 12 for 12 in the fourth quarter, and 10 of those were with a minute 18 to go in the game until 13 seconds. So over a 65-second stretch, he made 10 of 10 to allow you to keep the lead.
And they didn't rattle the rim either.
No.
They were all just perfect shots.
Yeah, I mean, he was clutch last night. The ball kept getting into his hands. They kept fouling him, and he kept making the plays to win the game. You know, I've heard a famous adage that free throws win ball games, and last night that was actually exactly what won us the game.
Without a doubt. It makes me wonder, did you put something in his drink at halftime?
No, I didn't have any of the Michael Jordan special, you know, nothing like that. It wasn't there. I wasn't there.
Well, Coach, he had 16 in the first half and really was your go-to player. He had 16 of our 30 points, 6 in the first quarter, 10 in the second, and he was a perfect 6 of 6 from the line. After Sinclair goes out, Coach, you're down by 5. I wrote it down here in my book. Mm-hmm. He goes out with the ankle injury and, of course, does not return. How big was the freshman Knox Jones stepping up in a big-time situation? To me, you don't – I guess region championship would be bigger, but to this point, a district championship game, and I thought he was very calm, cool, and collected.
100%. Like, I couldn't be more proud of him. You know, when we were at Cannon, he was putting that moment the same way because Morgan fouled out early, and he didn't handle it as well. And, you know, Knox is a young player. He's a freshman, but he's very mature in his age. And he said, he walked back to the huddle as soon as the game was over with it. He goes, guys, that's my bad. That's my fault. And I could tell that he wasn't going to let that make that mistake again. And last night, he proved it. And he settled down. He made the right plays. He played within himself. He didn't try to do too much. He defended. He did everything we asked of him. I couldn't be more proud of him.
Coach, tell us a little bit about Morgan Sinclair. I know he had an injury in the second half, and I never saw the young man again last night. Is he going to be okay?
Yes, I think he's okay. It's just an ankle tweak. I actually had him in class today. You know, he's hobbling a little bit, limping, but I think it's not serious. We're going to try to rehab him and have him ready for Saturday.
Good.
Coach, when you look now, it's what's ahead. Yep, it's good that you got the district championship, but this is not the end of the road. You've got a Marion County team coming in at 12-15, the number 4 seed out of 5AA. Tell us what you know about the Warriors.
Marion, you know, great, great athletes, football school. You know, they've had a really good football year, and some of those athletes play basketball as well. They're quick, they're up and down, they like to put pressure on you, they like to trap. It's going to be a challenge to make sure we handle the pressure and make good decisions, you know, kind of like we did last night. We just got to repeat that. I know they don't have a lot of size. They're not big. So it could be a good spot for Lucas Cornwell. But we got to come out and play and compete, and we'll see what happens.
Coach, they've also got a lot of speed. Their head football coach's son is one of their starters, and they don't mind running up and down the floor all night long if that's what it takes.
Yes, I expect the pace of play to be very high. You know, we're looking at a lot of possessions, probably a high-scoring game, but I'm here for it. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Coach, how important is it that you get to play Saturday night at 6 o'clock at Bill Landers Gym?
Oh, if we have the same environment we have for the district championship here for the first round of the region, it's going to be electric. It's going to be fun. It's going to be loud, and I think that it will definitely affect the visiting team.
Coach, I think there's a pretty good chance. We've got some pretty good teams, even though there's only four of them in our district. But it wouldn't surprise me at all if all four of our teams, even Monterey, come away with a win this weekend, and then all of a sudden, it's all District 6 all over again.
Yeah, that's a possibility. I know Bledsoe County is a really strong team. They're senior heavy. I think they've got seven seniors. They're big and strong and athletic. That's Monterey's matchup. That'll be tough. But, I mean, I think they can pull it out if they just play their game and do what they do. And then, you know, York and Grundy could be a good game. I could see that. Grundy plays like a relentless pace. They play really hard and play really, really fast pace.
Coach, when you look at Cannon Sequatchie, that's the first matchup for Cannon. And they kind of dominated that other district when they played them. And just going purely on that, you got to think at least three of our four teams would have a chance. But, you know, everybody starts region play at 0-0. So it really doesn't matter what the record is, because it's win and advance, lose and go home.
Yeah, everybody's back in 0-0. That's what we say all the time, 0-0. But yes, it's relieving to see that the Cannons had some success this year with that district. I think they've played everybody but Grundy, if I'm not mistaken, if I have to go back and look at it.
No, that's correct, Coach.
Yeah, that's correct. Okay, they played everybody but Grundy, and they've handled it pretty well. You know, I think they've beat Sequatchie by about 20 each time, and they've beat Marion about the same. So it is relieving, but, you know, you're going to get somebody's best shot on a go-home night. So I kind of throw the records and the scores and stuff out the window and just try to prepare the best we can.
Well, we've played so many games in Monterey, and we've still got a lot of games to play up on top of the mountain, too. So that ought to be almost like a home floor for teams in 6AA, don't you think?
I think that will definitely give an advantage by all the games we've played there and the lack of the games the other district has played there. I 100% agree that that's going to be a big advantage for us.
Of course, the region games, they give you the option if you're that first round host.
Right.
If the other team agrees, I'm moving that game to 7-6. Smith and Marion's at 6, Bledsoe and Monterey's at 6. York, which is Rodney Pyle, is trying to get their game moved from 7-6. But when I talked to Coach Nave earlier today, he said that Cannon Sequatchie would be at 7. And he said it wouldn't surprise him as soon as our game was over if you didn't try to get over there and watch the fourth quarter.
Well, that would take a lot of work and a lot of driving, but don't put it past.
Well, you could always take the Smith County helicopter. It'd be a whole lot quicker that way.
Well, if I had that kind of money, I might purchase me one, but I don't. Like, I'm just a lowly teacher.
Coach, when you look, last year came up short in the district championship game to Jackson County. And now in year two, you have gotten over the hump, broken the 36-year drought. What are you preaching to your team not to get the big head and not pat yourself on the back too much? Yeah, enjoy that, but the big picture is this. We want to get back to the sub-state for the first time since 1991.
Wow.
Yes, sir. Visualization is something we have talked about in practice. And before every practice, we get together, we talk, and we look up on that wall, and I said, guys, I want you to visualize a banner. I want you to visualize this is what we're doing this year. And the boys are bought into that. That's what one of their main goals is to hang a banner on that wall. And it's great. We won the district. We've ended a long drought. That's fantastic. But, you know, I think last time I spoke to you guys, something we talked about, I think Murphy said something to the effect of, you know, y'all are going to be really good next year. And I said, no, we got to be good this year because nothing's promised next year. We don't know what's going to happen in the future. Let's just focus on now be the best that we can possibly be, try to have that successful year, and keep our momentum going forward. That's our goal. Put that banner on the wall.
Well, Lane Bissell, we appreciate you visiting with us. Good luck to the Owls on Saturday night at 6 o'clock at Bill Lander Gym in Carthage as they face Marion County in the region quarterfinals.
Go get them, Coach.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate y'all.
Okay, and we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Terry Brock, the Gordonsville girls head coach. They won their district tournament, and we'll talk to her when we return to the Box Score, brought to you by Wellworth Bank.
Why do our customers choose Homeland Community Bank? Because we're committed to providing top-quality financial services while focusing on those personal banking relationships that treat you like the friends and neighbors that you are. From checking and savings to loans of all types, including those focused on business, Homeland Community Bank is truly ready to meet your needs. Contact us today to make the switch to better banking. Homeland Community Bank. Banking by the people, for the people. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Friendly, traditional banking at its best. It's what our customers have learned to expect at Citizens Bank, and we're always happy to deliver, with plenty of options for personal and commercial checking accounts, as well as a variety of loan types. We can help you achieve your financial goals, all with a friendly hometown smile. Citizens Bank at 407 Main Street and 61 Dixon Springs Highway in Carthage, 70 Cookeville Highway in South Carthage, and 530 Gordonsville Highway in Gordonsville. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
At Huff and Puff Trucking, it's more than a job. It's the people beside you. People who go the extra mile. Together. Hard work. Real pride. Good people. That's who we are. Huff and Puff Trucking. Driven by purpose. Powered by people. Ready to join us? Visit huffpufftrucking.com to learn more.
Regardless of where you call home, you can relax even more when you trust DTC Security to keep tabs on your home and your family's safety.
For just $49.99, get a system with a touch keypad, 3-window or door sensors, motion detector, key fob, and standard installation. Secure your home and guard your future with DTC Security.
Don't wait until something happens. Contact DTC Security now and take the worry away at your home.
At Wellworth Bank, we believe care makes for better banking. It's what turns transactions into trust and customers into neighbors. To us, people are more than numbers. They're families building futures, dreamers starting new journeys. We believe care should come standard because you're worth it. You always have been. Wellworth Bank, care in common. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
And welcome back into the Box Score, brought to you by Wellworth Bank, our title sponsor. And we've been joined by Terry Brock, the Gordonsville girls head coach. And on Saturday, we were fortunate enough to get to do the DTC Huff and Puff Trucking Game of the Week for the championship game. And coach, quite an atmosphere in Gordonsville.
Yes, it was. It was an exciting time, an exciting win. Really an honor to get to play for the district championship and then to secure that championship win. Super proud of my team and really thankful that they got to experience that and that our fans got to be there and experience that as well.
Coach, how many of your girls are seniors? I know Smith County, for example, their boys team and girls team don't have a senior on either one of those teams, so they're going to be back next year. What about your situation there in Tigertown?
Our situation is a little bit different than that. We actually have four seniors. And all four seniors have a huge contribution to our team. And they all play different roles and different style players, but they all have a significant role. So very thankful of the success of the season that we've had so far, especially for those seniors, because they've put in so much work and they're great kids on and off the court. I've really enjoyed my time with them. And so for us moving forward, that's the reason, one of the main reasons that I really want our team to go deep in the postseason is for them to experience that, it being their last go around with it, and knowing how hard they've worked to get to this point. You know, I have four, like I said, Mackenzie Heron, Molly Story, Bailey Trusty, and Dariana Bell. And when I tell you that these are all great kids and I look forward to practice every day with them, that just makes it that more special, I think.
Coach, when you look at Dariana Bell, the other night I thought she was huge from a free throw line, and also how active she was inside, just relentless on the boards.
Yes, she had two good games back to back there in the district tournament where her shooting percentage was really high, but like you said, defensive rebounds, and then a lot of good help on the defensive end defending the paint. So she's one that I was extremely proud of, you know, and she's one that has gotten a lot of experience this year. And this is her first year to really get that. So I feel like she has stepped up here at the end in the postseason. Her decision making's really grown throughout the season. So I'm excited for her. And she's one that is possibly thinking about playing at the next level too. So if she keeps playing like she played these last two games, it will be a huge difference maker in our postseason.
Coach, for our viewers who, like me, don't get a chance to see Gordonsville play very much because we're busy following another team, but who are you all scheduled to play once your regional tournament begins?
So we open up on Friday night, the first round of the region. We host Clark Range. They were the fourth place team in that 7A district. So that's who we face first. And you know, at this point, honestly, we're just taking it one game at a time. I think that's all we can focus on right now. And then, you know, it's survive in advance is what we are at now. So our focus is on Clark Range. We've played them two times in the season so far. They've got, obviously, you know, Coach Rogers, he is a veteran coach. Most wins in Tennessee, I think at this point, under his belt. So he'll have his team prepared. He's got some players that have a lot of talent. He's got some shooters. He's got a really good ball handler at the point position. But we're preparing for that, and we're excited to host them on Friday night.
Does he still whistle all the time at his girls? That's the one thing I can remember about him during the state tournament. You could hear him over all the noise that was in Murphy Center.
Yeah, if you watch back on film, like watching our games from last time we played him, that's what you'll hear, that whistle just kind of echo through the gym, and you know exactly what that is.
Terry's kind of like that guy at Vanderbilt baseball games.
Yeah, he's that loud. Coach, you're 25-4 now and just having an outstanding season. I know you don't want to rest on your laurels, and you, along with the boys, winning the district championships for the first time in the district tournament that both teams have won since 1998. So, you know, when you make an accomplishment like that, that has to have your fan base excited.
I think so. You know, we had a great turnout for our games. The boys had an excellent turnout, an exciting environment. Of course, you know, 2 years ago, the boys team had that deep run. And I wasn't at those games because I wasn't a part of the community just yet, but I've heard, especially that sub-state game, just how amazing the atmosphere was for Gordonsville and how the community came out. So I'm hoping, you know, being able to host this region tournament, I'm hoping that's what we'll see over these next few games. And yeah, I mean, someone gave me that little tidbit the other day about it's been that long since 98, since both the boys and the girls. And I thought, now listen, that's creeping back really close to my high school years. So that for sure has been a long time.
Coach, Gordonsville has a habit of whatever the sport is, they go deep in the playoffs, deep in the tournaments, deep in the baseball season, softball. What do you attribute that to? It's just something that's really special about Gordonsville, and I'm just so proud that I got to go to so many games at that high school and watch so many kids over a period of 20, 25 years. And they just got winning on their mind regardless of what the ball looks like.
I think there's something to be said about it being, I mean, we're small, we're a single A school, and I'm coming from a community where it's a larger community that I thought was small until I really got to Gordonsville. And I think There's something to be said about that family. It's like a family. And I think that stems from being a smaller community. You know, when you're in a school this small, your kids have a lot of interaction with each other. And teams naturally do. But I think outside of just when we're together as a team, there's a lot of interaction because most of these kids, especially if they're in a lot of the same classes, they see each other a lot throughout the day. I also think I attribute it to, I mean, I think Gordonsville has done a great job of emphasizing how much these student athletes put in to their sport. And I think Gordonsville does a good job of supporting them with that. And I think when your student athletes feel supported and know that they're appreciated and valued, I think that makes a huge difference as well.
They don't want to let the fan base down, do they?
No, and they're, I think the whole community is vested in our athletes and in our sport. And that just gives it another level of importance and significance. And I know, you know, I've been a part of sports my whole life, and everybody told me when I was considering taking this job that it was a special place here. And I think until you're in it and in this environment and atmosphere, you don't realize just how special it is. And our athletes too, they work hard as well. And I know the other sports, I mean, you just look at everything from, especially on the female side, softball, volleyball, soccer, flag football, last year being the first season. And all of those sports have had success. And I think for those sports too, I know, you know, I'm around all those coaches. They have great leadership. That's another reason I was so excited to be here is, and even though it's a different sport, basketball is, there's still things to learn. I knew that I could learn from these other coaches that have been successful in other sports. And that's something I've tried to soak in here as well. So it's just a special place.
Coach, I've got to beat the Brock train right here, I guess you'd say. First of all, you were named the Coach of the Year in the district, and then your daughter for the regular season was the MVP. And I know she's just a freshman, and I know you never like to brag on your kids or Lily, but let's take one exception and tell you about just how special a player she is.
Well, I think for both, like, it's really, our team is, everybody is looking to contribute this year. And that is what opens up a lot of things for each of my players, and Lily included. I mean, she's out there on the floor, no matter who's out there at any given time, with four other players that can score and can defend and can rebound. And really and truly, that just helps each of our players look a little bit better because of what we can put on the floor. And now I will give Lily credit. Lily works extremely hard. She loves the game and she puts a lot of effort in, but all my players do. I think it could have easily been any of those players. You know, that's one of those things where she was nominated by another coach. But I think any of my players could have stood out for that award. And there again, I think that goes back to being able to look to score a little bit different than I think the past couple years that we've had. All my players, I tell them, you know your shot, take it. If it's your shot, you know, look to score the ball. And I'm hoping that's one thing in the postseason that will make us a little bit harder to guard too when everybody's out there looking to score. But, and it's the same thing with my award. I mean, that's really not for me. I don't get on the court. My players do. They get out there and battle every night. And without them and the success that we've had this season, you know as well as I do, that award's not mine. That's really theirs.
Coach, you mentioned a sport that even myself has not witnessed yet, and that's girls flag football. But that's going to be a big deal in the not-too-distant future. TSSAA has made that a sanctioned sport. I'm just curious to find out how many of your basketball players are going to play flag football this year.
Right now, I've got three. I've got three that are going to play flag football. And then, of course, you know, I have a couple that also play softball. So, and both of those have already started their official practice and some scrimmage and play days. So I mean, I'm hoping to hold on to those girls for as long as I can. But then I know those other coaches are excited about them getting back in to those other sports. But yes, I've got three with flag football, and I think I've got two that are going to go right into softball. And then I also have one, Emma, that's going to go into track as well.
Coach, when you look, I know you've got one eighth grader, Lainey Foster, that starts for you, but you've had an opportunity to pull some off the eighth grade squad up. How important is it? Of course, you know, I know your assistant coach is the head coach at the junior high level, but for them to get to experience this as well, that's got to breed a great culture for down the road with them getting the experience this postseason run.
Yeah, I hope so. You know, I feel like if you have the skill and you have the talent, I do think it's a great opportunity to go ahead and get in just with my game plan and my style of play. And that's one of the reasons too why I coached junior high last year. Number one, coming to a new community and getting familiar with those players, but also them learning my style of play. And I think with having four seniors as well that I'll be losing after this year, I think that's very important. You know, you want to have some players back every year that have had some experience. So I think, obviously with Lainey, her getting the experience she's had this year, that's going to be beneficial moving forward for next year. And then those girls that, my eighth graders, the other ones, of course, Isabella's up with us on varsity right now, and there's three other ones. I think in middle school, they ran a lot of the same things that high school is familiar with, and I think that will make that transition that much easier. And there again, it is a great group of kids. So I'm looking forward to all of them being with us next year and being on the high school team. And I do think that helps when it's more fluid like that. I think that can only make your program stronger.
Coach, when you look at this run, I know everybody starts 0-0. And regardless if you're a 1 and playing a 4 or a 2 and a 3, and regardless of where the game is, you know, you have to focus one game at a time. And it seems to me that your team is not going to overlook anybody, and Coach Terry Brock is going to make sure that doesn't happen.
Oh, we better not. We talk about that. I mean, after every game, we look at our record. And so right now our record is sitting at 2-0. That's what our record is. You know, we wiped a clean slate. And when we went postseason, we made that. We said our record is 0-0. And that's what it is right now. Because really and truly, once your regular season is done, everybody does start from a clean slate. And where you finish, you know, that determines who you play. But you guys know as well as I do, you've been around sports long enough to know, and in basketball in particular, anybody can be anybody on any given night. Any team can step up. Any team can have a great game plan, and it just be their night. So we try to not take anything for granted.
Well, Coach Terry Brock, best of luck in this region tournament. It starts with Clark Range on Friday night over at Gordonsville at 7 o'clock, and hopefully you'll have a great crowd.
Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate you guys, and I appreciate the fans, and hopefully everybody will come out and support us and the boys both throughout this entire region tournament.
Coach, we appreciate you too. Good luck, okay?
All right, thank you.
We'll look at the District 8 3A standings and region brackets when we return here to the Box Score, brought to you by Wellworth Bank.
Friendly, traditional banking at its best. It's what our customers have learned to expect at Citizens Bank, and we're always happy to deliver, with plenty of options for personal and commercial checking accounts, as well as a variety of loan types. We can help you achieve your financial goals, all with a friendly hometown smile. Citizens Bank, at 407 Main Street and 61 Dixon Springs Highway in Carthage, 70 Cookeville Highway in South Carthage, and 530 Gordonsville Highway in Gordonsville. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Why do our customers choose Homeland Community Bank? because we're committed to providing top-quality financial services while focusing on those personal banking relationships that treat you like the friends and neighbors that you are. From checking and savings to loans of all types, including those focused on business, Homeland Community Bank is truly ready to meet your needs. Contact us today to make the switch to better banking. Homeland Community Bank. Banking by the people, for the people. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
At Huff and Puff Trucking, it's more than a job. It's the people beside you. People who go the extra mile. Together. Hard work. Real pride. Good people. That's who we are. Huff and Puff Trucking. Driven by purpose, powered by people. Ready to join us? Visit huffpufftrucking.com to learn more.
At Wellworth Bank, we believe care makes for better banking. It's what turns transactions into trust and customers into neighbors. To us, people are more than numbers. They're families building futures, dreamers starting new journeys. We believe care should come standard because you're worth it. You always have been. Wellworth Bank. Care in common. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Welcome into the Box Score. Terry Collins, Murphy Fair. It's our final segment, Murphy. We're going to talk about some District 8 AAA action, which occurred over at Watertown. And, you know, people have been blessed because you can go to Monterey. You can go to Cookeville. You can go to Livingston, you can go to Watertown, you can go to Gordonsville and get district tournament action.
Absolutely. And, you know, people associate me with football and not basketball. But if you're in the Upper Cumberland this time of year, it's basketball.
For sure. For sure. For sure. Let's go ahead and look at the District 8 AAA girls bracket. Watertown gets a big win over Central Magnet. Gets the championship and beats DeKalb County, who upset Macon County 38-33 in that other semifinal game. And then Watertown with a 64-46. So Brenna Price's team gets a district championship. They'll play, and we'll look at the region brackets in just a minute, but they will get to host not only that region quarterfinal game, Murphy, but if they continue to win, they'll play at Watertown High School.
I was going to say, they're just like Monterey. They get both tournaments, right, on their home floor.
That's true. And then Macon County gets the win narrowly in the girls' game 46-44 over Central Magnet. Central Magnet did lead that game at halftime. Let's go ahead and look at the the replay dates for the girls' championship, DeKalb County and Watertown. That'll be Thursday, February the 26th, and Tuesday, March the 3rd at 1 p.m., Saturday, February 28th at 5:30, and Sunday, March the 1st at 7 p.m. If you ever get confused on when or who is playing, go to DTC3.tv, and it'll have a list of that schedule.
Absolutely. A lot of basketball still to be played.
Yeah, that's true. Let's go ahead and look at the boys' side of the bracket at Watertown. DeKalb County narrowly beats Watertown. Both teams didn't play well, 36-32. And then Macon beat Central Magnet 61-50. Third time that they had played in eight days, I think it was. So they were familiar with each other for sure. And then Macon gets the big blowout win, 70-51. A coin toss determined that 1 and 2 seed, Murphy.
Oh, my
both
goodness.
Of those were 4 and 2. Watertown and Central Magnet were both 2 and 4 at the end of the district. But Macon and Michael Owens, his team, played well to beat DeKalb down at Watertown. And then Watertown gets by Central Magnet 56-52 in that third place game. So Kevin Honeycutt's team will now have to go on the road. And we'll get to that bracket in just a second. Let's go ahead and look at the replay dates for the consolation and championship games featuring both DeKalb County and Watertown. It'll be on Friday, February the 27th, Monday, March the 2nd, and Tuesday, March the 3rd at 7 p.m., and on Saturday, February the 28th at 1 p.m.
Terry, do they do those replays back-to-back on those dates or not? Or is it one game or two games?
No, it's back to back, and they'll play it out. And you know, my mom, she loves watching other teams.
Sure.
And she loves seeing that high school action. And kudos for DTC of getting out and covering that, and giving those people that maybe can't go to the game an opportunity to see it, even on a replay basis.
Get a chance to see them all.
That's true. Let's go ahead and look at the region brackets. The aforementioned, of course, Stone Memorial will be playing at home in Crossville, right across from Bucky's. They'll play Central Magnet in that girls game. Stone girls seem to be the cream of the crop, Murphy, not only in District 7 3A, but in the state. And they're playing well. Mike Buck's got that well-oiled machine going, and they will fire the threes. I think we played them earlier, and they shot like 37 threes.
Oh, my God.
So it's going up from the perimeter.
It sounds like you might want to move that that circle or half circle out a little farther for that game.
Of course, DeKalb County gets to play at home against White County, a team that has beaten them pretty soundly in both regular season games. But that game is in Smithville, and I know Brandy Alley is saying, hey, everybody's 0-0. Win in advance. Of course, losers will go home. Watertown drawing a tough assignment. A Livingston team, when Leslie Riddle now, in the postseason, Murph, she's always been a very tough out, and I know Brenna Price knows that.
Well, the thing about it is, if Watertown wins that game, then they've got to face Upperman in all likelihood. Yeah. And that's a pretty doggone good boys and girls teams.
Livingston girls go to Upperman this year and beat them in the regular season. So don't just pencil Upperman in the championship game, because I think they had four district losses this year. I did Upperman in the regular season. Macon County, a team that doesn't have a lot of size. I don't know that Upperman will have, but through the years, when Upperman and Macon were in the same district, Murphy, this was a battle.
Oh, I'm sure. There's a lot of generational play between those two schools.
And especially when both were so good. Let's go ahead and look at the four AAA or four 3A boys bracket. Baxter, the site of the Upperman and Central Magnet game. Alan Bush, former player at Cannon County, the Central Magnet boys coach. And they've got some length, but Upman's got the premier player in the state of Tennessee, and Ty Cobb.
Baseball guy, right?
Ty Cobb, he is good.
Yes, he is.
If you haven't seen him, you need to go. And then you've got DeKalb County. They're at home against Stone Memorial. Stone Memorial, a very good club. Murph, one that we saw earlier in Crossville, when Smith County played up there, and it'll be tough to get for DeKalb to get. They're going to play well at home.
Absolutely. They love their basketball at both of those schools in Crossville.
Then White County will travel to Lafayette to play Macon County. Of course, I'm sure that the near White gym will be packed. And, I really think that'll be a good close game.
Interestingly, you mentioned Miss White. I actually saw her at the AAU tournament in Gallup, New Mexico, when I was in high school back in the 60s.
It's been a while ago.
Yes, it has.
Cumming County boys hosting Watertown. Of course, that's going to be kind of a conflict of styles, because Cumming County, they love, their nickname's the Jets, and they love to run up and down the floor and shoot three-pointers. And Watertown and Kevin Honeycutt, he likes to slow it down, so we'll see. Then, of course, on Tuesday, two semifinal games at Watertown, and on Thursday, the championship game at 7 o'clock. Monday, the two girls semifinal games, and that's on March 2nd, and then on March 4th will be the girls championship. Thanks so much to Justin Malden, doing a great job for us. And for Murphy Ferry, I'm Terry Collins. Good night from the Box Score.